Morning. Beautiful blue sky today. Beautiful blue sky. Just noticing that as we pulled in. Well, let's see. There we go. All right, let's turn to James 3. James chapter 3. Starting in verse 13. So James 3:13, the Bible says, "Who's a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of partiality and good, or I'm sorry, full of mercy." And yeah, we don't want it to be full of partiality. In my Bible, it's like right below it, so I'll like skip the line. Maybe it's time to, you know. Yesterday I was working on making some shelves, and it's like you're trying to, you know, screw something in that's like only this far away from your face, and it's like I felt myself having to like move back and forward a little bit to tune in on the head of that screw there. And this is about that same distance. And I'm single vision as of now, so maybe soon. Okay, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your love. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the privilege it is to be able to have a copy. We thank you for how your word addresses every area of life, Lord, that we can know what your will is. And we just pray for humility, wisdom, Lord, this morning. Lord, that you could do a work in our hearts, remind us of some things, challenge us to just continue on for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're down to easy to be entreated. And last week, we looked at several things that need to be a part of our life in order to be easy to be entreated. We need to study the Bible. We saw in 2 Timothy 2:15, we need to use it. We need to put it into practice. We looked at Hebrews 5. It takes time. You know, it doesn't happen overnight. That we're going to be easy to be entreated, that we're going to know what we need to know in order for the Holy Spirit to have that ammunition, so to speak. We need to yield to the Holy Spirit. We need to yield to God. Romans 6, Romans 13 we looked at. We got to die to self. That's a moment-by-moment challenge, dying to self. And then we just need to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. We looked in John 14. The Spirit is going to show us the truth we need at that moment. Give us the wisdom we need at that moment. Let's turn to Ephesians. Let's go to Isaiah again real quick. Isaiah 66 again. Excuse me. So Isaiah 66. The hymn we sung this morning, "Thanks, O God." We need to really take that to heart. You know, there's a lot of struggles. You know, there's a lot of difficulties. You know, and some of us have more of a tendency to focus on those things, dwell on those things. Other people, you know, it's just get over it, you know, move on. But there's a lot to be thankful for. You know, I think of this church and the encouragement from this church. And we, you know, when we travel out to Massachusetts, you know, well, we don't always get as far as we'd like to some days. And like this last time, we were trying to figure out, okay, how's it going to work out? How far might we get? You know, and then I ask myself, what's realistic then? I think, how far am I going to get today? And then I say, okay, be realistic. How far are we really going to get? And trying to find a church, you know. I mean, there's churches out there, no doubt. But just trying to find a good church, you know, it's like, you know, one church might hold to the King James, but then they have Southern gospel music. You know, another church has good hymns, but the King James is just preference. It's not, you know, this is the preserved word of God. And, you know, we need to be thankful for our church. You know, every one of us have a blessing here from our preacher, from each other. You know, week in and week out, we know we're going to get scripture. And we know we're going to get what we need to be fed. And we have a lot to be thankful for with that. You know, yesterday I was building them shelves and we started moving the canning jars into there. And we moved some canning jars, and then we moved more canning jars, and then there was some more canning jars. And it's like, wow, look at what the Lord has provided. You know, because they were just in this cabinet where you can't really see what's there. I mean, you know there's a lot there, but now they're in a spot where you can actually see them, you know, when you look in this closet area. It's like, wow. You know, and you think about, what did all that start off as? You know, what did all the green beans start off as? Like maybe 100 seeds, 100 little seeds. I don't know how many we put in the ground. But anyway, and then now there's just jars of green beans. And they're a lot better than frozen. A lot better than frozen. But, you know, and then there's tomato soup and pears and yummy jams and all kinds of stuff. You know, and that, just like we have physical blessings, there's spiritual blessings innumerable that we need to dwell upon. But that, I don't know, I appreciated that song. Okay, Psalm 66. Maybe this is going to be Rabbit Trail Sunday. Maybe I'll get on one thing and we'll go down a rabbit trail for a couple minutes, then we'll come back. I don't know. I guess I've already went on a couple rabbit trails. 66, Isaiah 66, verse 2, the second part of the verse there. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. We cannot be easy to be entreated by the Holy Spirit. You know, whether it's something, a part of a verse or a verse we've memorized, or, you know, the Holy Spirit while we're reading our Bible. It's like Wednesday night's message about delighting in the Lord and delighting in, you know, how sometimes we just read over stuff and we're just oblivious. We're just unaware of like that, how that verse should just really move us in some way. But we have blinders on sometimes, you know. And I know, I heard once, I don't know how true this is, but I heard once that the things that irritate us in others, we probably have a problem with. And so I took that to heart, you know. I took that to heart and I started thinking about what irritates me in somebody else. And I started thinking, do I do that? Am I like that? You know, do I not see that in myself? That's why it irritates me in them. You know, or something related. I don't know, just something to think about. I'm not saying I got a verse for that, but just an idea to think about. But we have to have a contrite spirit. We have to have a broken spirit. And just over a couple chapters in 57, we ended last week with these couple verses here, but I think they bear repeating. And the importance of this, if we're going to be easy to be entreated, I mean, how far down that path do we get before we are sensitive enough that we listen and come back? It's easy to take a step on a wrong path sometimes. Brother Jim and I were just talking out in the foyer there about life. It just goes fast. You forget stuff. And I know, I thought when I was 25 that, you know, life was going to be like that forever, you know. But it isn't. It isn't. Things change. Things start breaking. Things start aching. You know, we forget. Got to write it down. Got to get your bulletin like Pastor does and just write it down on there. But we forget. But if we would just be humble, You know, then the things we forget, we can just, oh, I'm sorry, you know. But here in 57:15, the second part of the verse there, it says to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. We all want revival, but it's got to start with the house of God. It's got to start with us. It's got to start with the church. And we've got to have enough humility to be easy to be entreated. Let's look in Ephesians 5 now. Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We kind of alluded to a few things, but I believe the Lord would have us to look a little bit further into some of these things. Ephesians 5, verse 20. Ephesians 5, verse 20. Give you thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are we easy to be entreated when it comes to giving thanks? You know, it's easy to find fault in anything. It's easy to find fault in the saintly of the most saintly of saints, because you know what? There's a fault. You know, nobody's perfect. You know, it's easy to find fault in the government. It's easy to find fault in a spouse. It's easy to find fault in a coworker. It's easy to find fault in our children. I left one out, though, didn't I? Yourself. You know, and that's where the easy to be entreated comes in. But for everything we can find fault, there's at least something or 10 or 100 more that we can find to give thanks for. There really is. And this can, you know, this can be a teeter-totter. You know, we're up. We're down, we're up, we're down, you know, but there's a lot to give thanks for. And the Lord's always wanting us to give thanks. It says here, giving thanks always. So there's not a time we shouldn't be giving thanks. When times are tough, that's part of always, is it not? You know, when we feel great, when we feel like we got a lot of strength and we can tackle anything. But when we don't have much strength, that's a time to give thanks. And so when the bank account seems high, or low. You know, when the cupboards are full or bare, it's always a time to give thanks. It's always a time. You know, even, you know, we've got to put on our spiritual glasses, because there's times in life when it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of hope in a certain situation or a certain area or a certain relationship. But there's always hope. There's always hope. There's always something to give thanks for. And so how are we with this? You know, do we see the glass half empty, or do we see it half full? You know, do we look at what's provided, or are we waiting for what's not provided, or worried about what's not provided? But we need to give thanks. We need to give thanks. And then verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. How are we with this, wives? You know, are we easy to be entreated in this area? Men aren't easy to live with. I'm just going to say that right out loud right now. And I should have heard a lot more. Well, I didn't even hear any amens. Should have heard at least 20 or 30. But we're not easy to live with. We're not. But in spite of that, the Bible tells us, you know, just like life is not easy to live, and there's struggles and there's difficulties and there's trials, but God says, be thankful anyway. You know, okay, maybe we consider our husbands a trial and a trouble and a difficulty. I don't know. I know we are at times, but the Bible still says to submit. It's not an easy thing. Pardon me, but how are we in this area? Are we easy to be entreated? And then now, men, verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for. Do we give ourselves up for our wives? Do I give myself up for my wife? Not perfectly, but I hope I do better than I used to. Don't ask her, okay? She'll give you the brutal truth. But hopefully we love our wives. And hopefully we sacrifice some things for our wives. You know, we ought to ask ourselves, have I sacrificed something I wanted to do something my wife wanted? You know, I had, you know, guys got projects, and they got projects that they're trying to get done about projects. It's actually just a project to develop a list of projects, probably. And it's a project in and of itself to get the stuff to get the project done. Yesterday morning, we learned that. You know, it's, you think, okay, I'm going to get this job done in 2 hours. And you haven't even started yet. Because you're still trying to get A, B, C, D, Z, double A, double B all lined up so you can do it. It takes a lot of time. You know, but in spite of that list of projects, not in spite of it, but we have that list of projects, but what about what our wives might want to get done? Do we maybe help them? And I know we're probably not going to sit behind the sewing machine. But even a monkey could be trained to use a seam ripper. And I don't know about your wives, but sometimes my wife needs to pull a seam out. And so I could be doing that while she's doing something else. Actually, I think we talked about that. She was making something. I don't know. She must have got it done when I wasn't home. But we can help her. We can help them. I know maybe you don't like making cards, but I help make some cards, some Christmas cards. It's kind of fun, actually. I don't know, maybe I'm a little too crafty, if that's possible for a guy, right? But I help make some cards, because my wife had a priority that, now, like I said, don't go ask her, because I'm talking about helping make cards, and she'll come up with 10 things I didn't do that I probably should have, okay? So don't go ask her. But anyway, you know, do we die to self? Do we, like it says here in the scripture, Christ gave himself for it. That was a complete and total sacrifice on his behalf. Am I ever going to get to the point where I make a complete sacrifice? Well, maybe for 10 minutes, maybe for an hour, maybe for a day. But it's a battle. But when I fail to do that, am I easy to be entreated about it? Do I listen to the Holy Spirit about it? But, you know, we got our list of projects. We need to think about what our wife wants to get done too. Help her out. make that a priority. Verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. We take care of ourselves. If we don't, it's obvious that, you know, if we don't shave, if we don't clean up, if we don't comb our hair, it's obvious. It's obvious. And just like we take that time and attention, we need to take the same time and attention for our wives, thinking about them, loving them, because we're one flesh. And so really, if we don't take care of our wife, we're not taking care of ourselves. It's vital. Verse 30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. You know, it's real easy. Let's see, what? Yesterday. I was sitting in the chair and I was comfortable. And you know how, you know, and I was working on something. I don't know if I was working on something with a paper, computer. I think I was just resting is what it was. I probably wasn't doing any work at all. And I think I asked Gabby to get me something. And I thought, you know, I don't know if I should have really done that. I probably should have just got up myself and gotten it. But that it got brought up to my mind because, you know, when we have a need, we take care of it. Or we ask somebody else to do it. You know, like if we're thirsty, we either get a glass of water or we ask somebody to get us a glass of water. But just like it's like an instantaneous response. I got a need, we either meet it or ask somebody else to. But it's the same with our wife. When they have a need and we have the power to meet it, we need to meet it. Now, wives like things. And they generally have a little different view than us guys. Like I'm still getting used to having multiple pairs of blue jeans. I'm used to having like one pair of blue jeans for work and one pair of blue jeans for wearing out. And I actually got two pair of work blue jeans and two pair of wearing out blue jeans. And I'm not used to that yet. Because what I'll do is I'll wear the pair and I'll wear the pair and I'll wear the pair and I'll forget, oh yeah, I got a second pair of jeans. I can wear this other pair because I got a lighter colored one and a darker colored one. Now, maybe you already learned that lesson, just let your wife deal with your clothes like that. But it took me a little while because I don't know, I guess I'm kind of stingy when it comes to that. I don't like having a whole bunch of clothes for myself. But anyway, she said you need some jeans. So I got some jeans. I will confess, I didn't go down without a fight. I think it took quite a few years before I actually got multiple pairs of jeans like that. But, and you're like, what are you worried about having jeans for? I don't know. Guys worry about weird stuff sometimes. But the whole point is, as we meet our own needs, but I had to learn this. You got to meet your wife's needs beyond what you sometimes think you need. Because, see, a wife defines need differently than a husband defines need. Okay, we got food for dinner in the cupboard, I'm all set. But the wife's thinking about the week or the month of food. I got one pair of clean clothes as long as I got the daily stuff taken care of. But the wife doesn't look at it that way. And there's other things too. I know that people who have been married longer than 10 minutes know these things. But the point is, sometimes the way we define needs are different. And we've got to listen to our wives about these things. But nevertheless, let every one of you in so particular love his wife even as himself. Even as himself. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. These are important things. Husbands loving our wives. Wives submitting, reverencing our husbands. But how are we in this area? Is it easy for God to get our attention in this area? In husband-wife relationship? Or are we kind of hard-headed about it? Well, if we're honest, we probably have to admit that at times we are. At times we are. We're kind of knuckleheaded, hard-headed, stubborn. I'm just speaking for the men now. But hopefully we wake up quickly. And hopefully when we fall short, we ask for forgiveness. We admit it right away. And we make it right. Children. In chapter 6, verse 1, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Children, are we easy to be entreated when it comes to obeying our parents? In all things, it says in Colossians. Any fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Fathers, parents, disciplining our children, nurturing our children, training our children. How are we in this? Because life goes fast, and sometimes we get lax. Sometimes we're too stern. Things happen. But when that happens, are we quick to allow the Lord to entreat us, to show us? Hey, relax a little bit. Or hey, don't let that go. That needs to be addressed. Or don't address that because that's not a big deal. But moment by moment, the Holy Spirit's all the time trying to get our attention in this area, in all these areas. Let's look in chapter 4, Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, talked about these few verses on Thursday night out at the sheriff's camp. Verse 22, let's start in verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. That was one of the things I tried to emphasize with the guys out there. Do we want truth? It's in Jesus. Jesus is the truth. John 14. His word is the truth. John 17. Do we want truth? But this is about being easily entreated as well. That we're not going someplace else looking for truth to our struggles. There is no other place to find the truth. Not one single place. It's only the scripture that's going to ever do anything for us. People's advice. Sometimes it's scripture, sometimes it isn't. We got to weigh it out. We got to check it out. We got to make sure. But Jesus is the truth. Then verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. That's where it starts. Stop doing the wrong thing. This is not acceptable anymore. This is not going to work anymore. This is not what God wants. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. We've got to have a changed mind. That's where the scripture comes in, to change our minds, to help us see what the truth is, what we need to be doing. And that you put on the new man, which after God has created righteousness and true holiness. That's doing the right thing. And I gave him these examples, but it's the same with us. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. We got to speak the truth. And it's not just with our neighbor, the guy next door. It's within our families. It's within the church. You know, are we telling the truth? All of it. You know, this kind of, well, you know, as husbands and wives, you know, you can kind of tell at times when your spouse seems a little preoccupied, maybe a little depressed, just like you can tell when they're really, you know, enthusiastic and excited and zealous. You know, and you kind of, you're a little concerned. You say, what's wrong? Oh, nothing. Really? Nothing's wrong? Is that why your bottom lip is at your knees? Is that why that is? So you're just, is that like a new exercise program? To like tone your cheeks or something? You know, but we do that sometimes. You know, and it might be the spouse or the husband, it might be the wife. We all, nothing. Nothing's wrong. Really? Are you sure about that? No. See, it takes a little prodding sometimes. But it's a lot easier just to tell the truth the first time. Excuse me, and then get to the bottom of it. Try to fix it. You know, but that's a part of the easy to be entreated. Excuse me. That's a part of the easy to be entreated, that we tell the truth and the whole truth. Yes, this is bothering me. Can we do something to fix this? Or, you know, I'm worried about so-and-so who's not saved. Or whatever. We got to be honest. We got to speak every man truth with his neighbor. Verse 26, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. There is a thing or two that happens that could provoke us to anger. You know, day by day. Maybe every hour. When you teach 12-year-olds, and there's 33 of them in a class, and everyone, you know, and then 7 of them have their hand up and they want your attention. You know, and they might say something about, you know, hurry up or, you know. Things can happen. Things can happen. But the Bible says, be angry and sin not. Neither give place to the devil. In our thinking, you know, in our activities, where we go, where we don't go. Verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands that the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. You know, this is something I try to tell the guys out at the sheriff's camp regularly. You need to work. And then, you know, it might not even be a job where they get paid. Find something to do. Help a neighbor. Help an elderly person. Do something. Stay busy. Get something accomplished. But we need to labor. We also need to help them that are in need. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You know, this, let's turn to James 3. James 3. This is a never-ending battle. This is a never-ending battle with our mouths. Never-ending battle. James 3. Excuse me. James 3, we're going to start in verse 1. James 3, 1, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. Anybody here meet that qualification? Not a one. So we know we're going to say something we shouldn't, or say something we should have with the wrong tone of voice. You know, because our tone of voice speaks sometimes more than what we actually say in words. It really can. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire. You ever started a fire? I have. Just by saying the wrong thing. Just by saying anything sometimes. Because sometimes we just need to be quiet. I haven't figured that out yet. All the situations that I just need to be quiet. I think I know a couple more than I used to, but I'm still learning. Actually, when I was about, how old was I? I don't even remember. I don't know if I was 8 or 10. I was playing with some matches at my house. I got the whooping of a lifetime. Because the kid down the road was with me, and he actually started something on fire, and my mom thought I did it. At least my memory tells me he started it. Maybe it really wasn't that way. But the point was, a fire got started in our breezeway. It wasn't a big one. It got put out quick. But the fire I got afterwards didn't get put out very quick. I got what I deserved. But anyway, we can start a fire. And you know, the problem with this fire is you don't always see the smoke. And you don't always see the flames. So we can't always even know that we even started a fire. But you know, we might realize we started a fire a week later. It might be a month later. It might be a day later. It might be 5 minutes later. It might be instantaneous. But the point is, we start fires sometimes. And we got to be very careful about this, that with our tongue, we do not start a fire in someone's heart. Now, we want to start a fire of zeal and enthusiasm and perseverance and so forth, but sometimes we start a fire of anger, despair, depression, discouragement. So we got to be really careful what we're doing. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine fig? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. This should not be a part of what we're like. Now, does it happen? Certainly it does. Do we need to excuse it, blame the other person, and say, well, if you wouldn't have done this, or if you wouldn't have said that, or what? No. When we do wrong, it's not anybody else's fault. It's our own fault. You know, when we say something we shouldn't, it's not somebody else's fault. It's our fault. When we say something sarcastically, condescending, belittling, it's not their fault. Yeah, but you don't know what they did. Yeah, so? I don't need to know what they did. All I need to know is that God says, hold your tongue. If you don't have something nice to say, don't say it at all. Over in James 1, excuse me. Over in James 1 here, let's see. Verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Swift to hear. I'm a little swifter to hear than I used to be. I'm not swifter running than I used to be. I used to be able to beat Gabby running, but I don't even try anymore. It just doesn't work for me. Swift to hear. That should be our first response. Listen. Hear what the other person has to say. Show them that we care about them by really giving them our attention. Be swift to hear. Slow to speak. Because, you know, if we're really going to say something helpful, we might need to think first. We might need to ask ourselves, okay, what did this person say? What might be the need of the moment? Which it could be just silence. You know, it could be a hug. You know, it could be, there's a lot of different things. What is the need of the moment? But we got to think about it. We got to be slow to speak. Let the Holy Spirit have time to impress upon us, okay, this could be helpful. And go from there. Slow to wrath. You know, because a lot of times if we're slow to hear and swift to speak, we got, it's like we got something to say, we got something to prove, and then what comes after that a lot of times? Argument, wrath, a little bit of headbutting. Anybody ever been there? Don't raise your hand. Anybody ever been there before? Of course we have. But when these things happen, do we allow the Holy Spirit to redirect us quickly? Is the scripture, in our heart so that, okay, you did wrong here. And then what do we do with that? Do we respond immediately? Do we allow ourselves to be easy to be entreated and then also make it right? Because you know what? Please forgive me, I shouldn't have said that. Takes humility. And we just saw that in Isaiah 57 and 66. We need a broken and a contrite spirit. but if we're going to prove that we really are easy to be entreated, we've got to go that one next step and make it right, and redouble our efforts to not allow it to continue. Well, let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your love and your long suffering, Lord. In so many of these areas, we're not where we should be. We thank you that we're not where we once were, but we are not necessarily where we should be even now, Lord. But we thank you for your mercy, your long suffering, your patience with us, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, to see, Lord, that the foundation here of this easy to be entreated is a humble heart. It's a broken and a contrite heart. It's trembling at your word. It's God said this, I need to do it, whether I feel like it or not. Because we all, if everybody's honest, we don't always feel like it. But God, the Holy Spirit's always ready to empower us, and we need to yield to that. We do thank you once again just for the privileges to gather here today. We thank you for this church. And Lord, just continue to challenge us. And Lord, might we just allow your Holy Spirit to give us the power and the strength we need to meet the challenges from your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.